From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. Here's your host, Frank Phillips.
Thank you very much, Barry. And our special guest today is Mr. Jeff Fritz, who is the retiring superintendent of schools for Clay Community Schools. And how long have you been doing this education thing?
Well, this is 40 years in Clay Community Schools. I did teach 1 year at the old lab school at ISU. I was a graduate assistant there, but this is 40 years in Clay Community Schools.
Wow, that is absolutely tremendous. And we've read about all the wonderful things people have said about you and your retirement, and I would heartily concur with those things. I'd like for us to go back now to when you were starting, and I know that's a day or two ago, but how have things changed in education since that time?
Well, it has been a few years ago. I started in Clay Community Schools in 1983. Mike Bogan was the principal of Jackson Township Elementary, and he was gracious enough to give me a job to teach fifth grade there. And I was very blessed to teach there for 14 years and then segued into the building principal there at Jackson Township for 16. So I was at Jackson Township for 30 years. It was like home. And when I left there, it was like leaving family members. It was like leaving people that actually were closer than my own family. So, and then I spent a couple years as the principal at North Clay Middle School, learned a lot. They were very gracious to me there as well. Gave me a lot of grace and a learning curve there. In the past 8 years, I've been superintendent here. But, you know, things have changed a lot. Really, the thing I see that changed a lot is there's a lot more responsibility that's been given by the state and the federal government on public education. So they just seem to keep, piling more on us. And the families have changed a lot. The family structure has changed a lot. Dynamics have changed a lot. Parent involvement, the involvement of the male role models has been a void that we've certainly seen in public education has trickled down from the family even into our classrooms. So it's changed a lot, but again, I've been very blessed.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, where did you go to school?
Went to high school at Clay City. So I've lived here all my life. I've born and raised in Clay City. I live within a mile where I've always lived. Lived on a family farm. My house my grandpa built back in the 30s. My wife and I bought it. We raised our girls there. Then went on to ISU and got my teaching degrees, my administrative degrees there. So.
Okay. And we've talked a little bit about how things have changed over the years. What kind of advice would you have for leaders today? It seems, and I don't want to editorialize, but I will, it seems like things change more rapidly as each year goes by. How would you advise educators today to stay on top of things?
Well, it's difficult. And again, I talk to our elected representatives quite a bit from the state level that take some things off our plate, and they continue to seem to pile more things on. With our new people coming in, whether it be teachers, support staff, or administrators, I one thing that's really helped me over the years: surround yourself with good people, surround yourself with good colleagues, and lean into each other. If you're a teacher, find those teachers in your subject area, in your hallway, in your building, and really bounce ideas off each other and really work together. Same with administrators and support staff. You need that support. And, keep in mind while we're there. We get kind of caught up in all the things, but we're there for kids. We're there to educate kids. And, I've joked about this many times, but I've had, if I was still teaching and someone says, "So Jeff, are you still teaching?" My pat answer would be, "When I have time," because I'm doing all these other things that really, have little to do or not as much to do with teaching as it should. But we've got to keep our focus that we are there to educate those kids. But it's a much tougher job than I started. I started 40 years ago, and I'm very concerned about our educators. I really am.
Well, I know you're concerned about getting new teachers, new educators to come into the system. What do you say to young people who, or maybe even older people who are thinking about going into education as a profession?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, with any job, whether you're in radio or whether you're a police officer working at Great Dane, a farmer, or a teacher, there are ups and downs, and there are positive negatives. But I'll tell you, with education, there are a lot of stresses, there are a lot of trials, there are a lot of rewards. I mean, I see kids today that are by now they're in their 40s, almost 50 years old, that we still talk about things that happened in my classroom. Many of them, honestly, have little to do with textbooks or curriculum instruction. It's the fun times we had. It's the laughs we had. It's the joking around. It's some practical jokes we played. But it's very rewarding. I mean, you get to help cultivate, help bring about that next generation that's going to be the leaders in our community.
And I would think that the longer time goes by, the more you see the changes you've made and people's lives take effect. In other words, you may deal with a child here, but by the time they become an adult and you see that they've progressed along the right path, and you can say, I had a part in that.
Well, and I would hope so. Again, I talk, living here, I get the advantage of seeing kids that I taught many years ago or was their principal. And I always enjoy talking to them, and they're very, very kind and very gracious to things they say typically. But I've this hasn't been something I've done on my own. I've really had some great people to work with. When I was a building principal, at Jackson, we received Indiana 4-star status and National Blue Ribbon School. And being a building principal, I get a lot of the accolades. I get a lot of the pats on the back. But really, it was those people in the classroom. It was the IAs. It was the ones working with the kids who were doing that grunt work. So I would like to hope I had a part in it, but really, it's the boots on the ground.
Well, even today, I think Jackson Township is recognized as being an excellent elementary school in the state. And you can say, well, you probably wouldn't say it out of modesty, but you can say, look, I had a part in that. And you, by implication, you still have a part in their success, and you have a part in the success of all of Clay Community Schools.
Well, and we have some excellent schools. I mean, Staunton is another National Blue Ribbon School, and just one of the best schools in the nation. And our Title I buildings, they have different demographics, but if you look at some of their scores, they have some of the best scores, maybe individually in a classroom or certain subject area in the surrounding area in the state. And so they're working hard, so demographics, the population of special ed students you have certainly makes a difference. But I'm proud of all our buildings, and they all have a part in what we do here. Great leaders, great teachers, and again, I don't think people realize how blessed we are to live in Clay County.
Well, let's talk about buildings for a while, because it wasn't that long ago that some of your buildings were not air-conditioned, for example, and now they are. What impact has building improvements had on student performance and on the ability of teachers to teach?
Yeah, I taught in the day when we didn't have air conditioning. And again, I was at the elementary level. So when, you're in the middle of August or, late spring and kids come in from recess, your temperature goes up 5-10 degrees in the classroom. It's hard to learn. So the air conditioning has certainly made a difference. We've really done a lot. And even prior to me becoming superintendent, we've really done a lot with our buildings, the upgrades to Northview and Clay City. And as a matter of fact, I had a superintendent reach out to me just yesterday about some information on our building project. And I'll look it up and find it. I couldn't believe it, but that was 2015 we started that. I'd been on the job 2 weeks, and we were actually putting out bids. So it's been that long ago. So it's been 8 years ago. But, we have people from around the state to come and visit our schools, athletics or different events, and they marvel what we have here. Northview is just a fantastic building. Clay City, as far as a small high school, I would put it up against any school in the state as far as facilities. So in our elementaries, our buildings and grounds, our maintenance, our new director of extended services, Aaron Hammond, has done a fantastic job. Jesse Chanel before him, really keeping the maintenance up to date and really keeping our buildings in great shape.
What do you see happening in the future? We're past the day of the little neighborhood schools for a lot of reasons. Do you see more consolidation of school buildings in the future?
Well, you know, in Clay County, we've really done a nice job of really, you know, spreading it out here. We're very fortunate, and I have people come in that you know, that transfer here, which is good for the school corporation as far as finances. And some want a smaller building, so we have one at Clay City. Some want a little larger building, so we have that at Northview. There'll be changes come about. You know, the old one room schoolhouses or the neighborhood schoolhouses, they've, you know, they're not there any longer. But we're very fortunate. You know, all of our most of our communities, you know, have a school, so we're still very fortunate in that.
What are the advantages that you've seen over the years as we've gone to more consolidated schools, if you want to put it in those terms? I'm not talking about corporation-wide, but being able to offer more to kids in a school building because there is a larger school population. Has there been advantages to that?
Well, certainly, there are advantages as far as maybe extracurricular or, you know, some of the courses can be offered. But I will say there's advantages both ways. Some kids just do better in a smaller environment, and so we've really got the best of both worlds in Clay County.
How is the technological advances working out? Are we headed down the right path as far as buying the Chromebooks for the kids and all the things that's being done?
Yeah, and Bill Miller is our technology director, and he did a fantastic job. We were ahead of the curve when COVID hit. So some school corporations were still trying to find one-to-one devices. We were already there. So he has done a very good job, and, you know, with different programs, different offerings we have, and also at the Goals Academy building, which is, here in the middle of town, we're upgrading that right now for a new technology center, which will help them a lot. They'll have a lot more room. Parents can come in there and get technology devices fixed for their kids and so forth. So it's really been a nice facility.
Well, nobody knew COVID was coming, and so you must have been very thankful that you were ahead of the curve on that.
Very much so. Bill really had us in good shape, and very fortunate to have him as well.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the state's involvement in education. You said that you've talked to the state officials and said, you know, take some of this off our plates, but it seems like over the years the state is putting more on the plates of local educators. Expand on that, if you would.
Yeah, I forget how many bills went through legislation this year, but many of them were school-related. And many of them, quite honestly, that we're dealing with today were once the responsibility of the home, once responsibility of the parent. There are things we have to deal with right now that's, you know, it's actually state law that happened on the weekends that we have to deal with in the school system. And it's very fatiguing, very tiring for administration, for our teachers. And, you know, we certainly play an important role as far as educators, but I'll tell you, family plays an important role as well. And there's no one that, you know, has more impact on their kids than the parents. And we really need, you know, we need that in our community.
Yeah, there's a public service announcement that we run on the radio from time to time that says, talk to your kids. They are listening to you, whether it seems like it at the time or not.
Absolutely, and the commercial, you don't have to be perfect, be a perfect parent, and that's true, because it's a good thing, because we'd all fail if that was the case. But, you know, we're very blessed with a lot of good families, but we are piled a lot of things on our plates right now, and I don't see that going away anytime soon.
So you're getting participation from parents, but you could always use more.
Absolutely, and, you know, the support, the involvement, making sure that, you know, kids do the homework, making sure the kids are at school, making sure if the kids are disciplined at school, it's supported at home. And we're not perfect in the school system, but, you know, I would say the vast majority of times when we say this happened, it's happened. And if we have that support at home, it just makes the whole system work better. It's better for kids.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but you had mentioned dealing with the state officials. Elaborate on that. What kind of things do you say to the state officials? What are the needs, more specifically, that the state needs to take off of the local educators?
Well, and again, there's so many things right now that we're forced to teach, that we're forced to get involved in. Some things we should, in my opinion, some things we should not. You know, bullying is a hot topic, but right now, if something happens over the weekend, and it's really a family issue. Maybe a kid, you know, said something on social media to another kid on a Saturday night. We have to deal with it on Monday morning. Oh. And really, those things should be, in my opinion, should be a home issue. Should not. I'm not saying that it shouldn't involve the school, but we should not be the first line of defense there.
Right. And I know that you are a big proponent of school safety. Talk about that a little bit, because we watch the news, and I know I've heard parents say, gee, sooner or later we're going to have one of those tragedies happen here in our community. Talk about what can be done, maybe what has been done, and also what can be done in the future to make schools safer.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you probably the thing that I'm most proud of would be the initiatives we've had with regard to school safety. We started the ALICE program, which is an active shooter training for our employees and for our students about 7 years ago. It's been a very, very well received, and it puts students, it puts staff, gives them some ownership in certain situations. It really is very dynamic. It gives different options. Our new police department, obviously, Josh Clark has done an excellent job as our new police chief. Couldn't be happy with what he's doing. He's really proud of what he's doing, taking ownership. You know, the experience he had, the four officers we've hired are just been well received as part of our school family. I wish so much, Frank, we didn't have to have any of these in the building. Back when I was teaching, the air conditioning was all the doors open. Mm-hmm. Air conditioning was all the windows, you know, propped open. And every once in a while, a neighborhood dog would walk down through the hall. Parents would walk in any door and just wave at you. Those days are gone. I wish they were back. We've done some things in our buildings that's made us harder targets that we really don't even tell the public what they are. So we've really done some good things there. It saddens me. It concerns me. But I really think the initiatives, the things we have in place have really helped out a lot. The main thing that parents can do, the main thing that our community can do, the main thing that our students can do is report something. If it doesn't sound right, if someone has made a comment about something with regard to violence, a school shooting, you know, some kind of mass attack, you need to report it. And I'll tell you, statistics show on these, the vast, vast majority, somebody knew about it beforehand. And many of them are stopped, but many of them, somebody doesn't report. That's the main thing people need to do is report, report, report.
And the last thing I want to ask you is, what advice do you have for Dr. Tim Rail as he's moving into your chair July 1st?
Well, Tim has been a very sound assistant superintendent for me. He's been a good friend. He's a good man, high morals, high character. I think he's going to do a fine job. You know, things are ever changing. But as I tell all my principals, the most important thing you can do beyond anything, hire good people. Surround yourself with good people. They're going to make you look really good or the opposite. So Tim will do that. I have all the confidence in the world. I think you'll do a fantastic job.
Okay. Thank you so much. Jeff Fritz has been our guest today on Focus on the Community. He is the outgoing retiring superintendent of Clay Community Schools. My name is Frank Phillips, and we appreciate you listening.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM, and on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.